I said this first service, but people were asking me, like, are you ready? You ready? I was like, I'm not. I wasn't. If you saw me the last couple of days, like, trying to, like, study, it wasn't working out too well. That's because, honestly, like, it's so easy for us to, like, overcomplicate God. I got to do this, and I got to do that, and I got to do that. God's like, I'm here already. Like, if you just yield and let me move. We try to do so many things in our own strength, in our own intellect, and it leads to nothing. But when we just yield, and do you guys enjoy the rain today?
Yes!
He says, my ways, they fall on us. Just like the rain does. They come down. And God's not like lording over us, and he's like, you never know what's going to happen next. The God's like, no, I have a plan and a purpose for you, and I will tell you what that is. You just have to yield. Amen? Amen. So yielding to not only who he is, but what he wants to do in our lives. I think so many times we let circumstances dictate how our Christianity is. We let circumstances dictate how our relationship with God is. And one of the things I was saying earlier was that, you know, when, as you guys know, my mom passed last month. And so I literally, like, lived at the hospital for, like, 2.5 weeks. And we'll get to it now because Paul is a great example of this. But my setting and my situation and my circumstance should not dictate my Christianity. And it should not dictate my relationship with God. Because if it does, then Christianity is only a religion that consists of Sundays and Wednesdays, if you come on Wednesdays. It consists of just praying for your food. And, you know, and when things go wrong, you start praying. Your prayer life shouldn't change whether you have a job or not. Or whether your kids are doing well or not doing well, or whether you're having marriage issues or not having marriage issues, like, your prayer life should not change. Yeah. God needs to be a constant in your life. Yeah. Circumstances might go up and they might go down, but your relationship with God should always be on the up. Amen. You're either rejoicing with God or you're laughing at Satan because you see what he's doing. It's a different way of living. It's also a different way of thinking, recognizing that the bad things are happening that happened, or the bad things you think are happening, were not sent by God.
Wow. Yeah.
But God promised that he'd be right there with you and go through it with you. And we come against God. We're like, God, why is this happening? What's going on? This and that and this. And the thoughts come, and it's like, God's like, hey, like, let's partner together and let's go through this together. And I'll show you what's happening if you'll yield to what I'm doing in your life. I love that you all came to church. That is amazing. But Amen. Coming to church does not equal a relationship with God.
Yep.
It doesn't. Church is an extension. It's a result. It's a product of having a relationship with God. Because here's the thing. Jesus doesn't want to stay here. He wants to go with you wherever you go.
Amen.
I was studying last night. And I was struggling because I'm trying to make something happened. I can't move on with my life until I know exactly what I'm going to say, exactly what scriptures I'm going to use. Like, I don't know. What is it called? I don't know what it's called. What? Preacher's block? There you go. Fixate. Oh, I love that word. Good job, Pastor Vegas. Later. Good job, Candace. I fixate, so I can't move on until this one thing is resolved. And I had a couple of errands to run. I wanted to, like, work out, but, like, I feel like I couldn't move on with my life because there's one thing. What am I going to talk about? And God's like, well, I can still speak to you, like, when you leave the room. You know, if you go work out, I can go with you. When you go run your errands, I can go with you. I don't have to stay, you know, in the room. God is an everyday God. And we limit him to an hour and a half a week. Or 2 hours a week. And God's saying, stop coming against me. You're limiting me. Open up your heart and just let me move. Amen. So no matter what circumstances we're in, we can't let our relationship with God. And the thing is that we have to be adamant about it. We cannot be casual. We cannot be pushovers when it comes to our relationship with God. Because if we keep that foundation solid, then anything that happens in your life is not going to matter. Things we thought were problems, you're going to see God use it for good.
Amen.
I literally slept at a hospital for 2.5 weeks, and I remember one day, they had these vending machines, and so I had Apple Pay with my phone, right? So I go down there and I got a chimichanga, a Pop Tart, and what did I get? A Canada Dry. I got those three things. It was like 3 in the morning. I had a cup of noodle every single day for like 2 weeks at 4 in the morning. My schedule was like so flipped around. I think it was pretty hilarious, actually. But it was great because like no one was in the cafeteria at that. So I had some peace and quiet. And I can talk to the Lord. He is a constant. Amen. Amen. And so I had my things and I sat down at a table. I don't think it was like 4 in the morning. Probably more like 10, 11 o'clock. Not that that matters, to be honest. And this patient actually like walks in, and she like looks at the food, and then she sits down. And I'm looking at my food, and I'm looking at her. And I was like, "Did you want something to eat?" And she's like, I don't think she spoke very good English, but at first she was like, you could tell she was shy. She's like, "No, I'm okay, I'm okay, I'm okay." I was like, "No, really, like, I'll get you something. What do you want?" She's like, "No, I'm okay, I'm okay." I was like, "You want a burrito? Like, what do you want?" And she's like, "Okay." And so I go, and my Chase had blocked my card because I used it like 3 times on 3 different machines. So I got flagged. And what am I gonna do at that point at night? And listen, I'm not bragging. I'm really not bragging. I'm just telling you that your relationship with God needs to be a constant. And I probably had every reason to say, I've been living at this hospital for 2 weeks. I'm not going to give my food away. Right? Yeah, it was my change. It was already hot and warm up and everything. Oof. It was ready. It was ready. And so I told her, like, here, like, take this. And she's like, no. I was like, she's like, I told her, like, I didn't lie, but I was like, I actually had to go back upstairs right now anyway. Because I don't want, the worst thing to do is like give someone your food and then just sit there, right? That would have been so awkward. So I just went back upstairs and I survived. Imagine that. I survived. I survived without that one chimichanga. I think we put importance on things that we really shouldn't put importance on. Giving that food to the lady was worth way more than me being hungry. It really was. And that's showing the love of Jesus to wherever you are. No matter what your circumstances are. Turn to Philippians chapter 4. Chapter 4. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know the word abased means like to be like degraded? Knocked down? That too. But also means to be degraded, which many times, and it puts a whole new meaning, not whole new meaning, but like it's pretty heavy when Jesus says like when someone strikes you, like turn the other cheek. I think everything in us wants like justice, and wants like this isn't right, like they need to pay, right now, and I want to see it. Am I the only one who has trouble turning the other cheek when you're driving? just go to the other lane. Maybe this isn't your turn, but maybe you should turn here. Don't follow him. And keep your lights off. Anyway, not that I speak in regard to need, but I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased and know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned to be full and to be hungry, both to abound to suffer need. I can do all things. Everyone say all things. Through Christ who strengthens me. You can survive any circumstance that you're put through. You have the God of the universe. Amen. Amen? And I love this because Paul's writing, correct me if I'm wrong, but Paul's writing from a prison. Yeah. Like a couple of chapters earlier, he's like, I may have physical chains, but these aren't real chains. My chains are in Christ. I'm bound to the Lord.
Amen.
That's crazy, right? Yeah. It reminds me when Jesus said, hey, I don't lay down my, like, oh, you're not going to take my life. I'm giving my life. There's a big difference. Because at any point, Jesus could have called down, you know, angels and set him free. But Jesus is like, you're not taking it from me. I'm giving it to you. Same thing. Paul's like, you think you're in prison. Sorry, you think you have me in prison. But all these prisoners are getting saved. All the guards are getting saved. Whose kingdom is coming now? Right? Think of your workplace. Think of your workplace. Think of your schools. Oh, I hate school. I hate school. I hate school. You know how many times I've heard people say, I hate school? Or I hate my job, I hate my boss. Bring God's kingdom there. You're not stuck in that job. They're stuck with you in that job. Come on. Have a different perspective, right? You don't need them. They need you. Amen? In whatever situation you're in. Thank you, Jesus. So I love that Paul is able to. God was Paul's constant,
amen,
no matter what situation. Yeah. And Paul didn't come again. Paul didn't pray to be freed. No, if anything, Paul was praising Jesus. He's telling people about God. He's getting people saved left and right. Like, Paul's having the time of his life. Because his joy and his peace and his happiness wasn't founded or rooted in his circumstances or his life or how things were turning up. But it was rooted in something greater and more powerful. Amen?
Amen?
I think it's time that we stop treating Christianity like a religion and start treating it like a person. And right now I just feel God saying, it's for a lot of us, it's time to start over. It's time to start over today because we've gotten so comfortable.
Yeah.
If I cross the line here, just I'll apologize. But I feel like in our society, and if you're on welfare, great. You know, it's great that you're getting assistance, but welfare, it wasn't designed to keep you there. But it was designed to boost you to have a better life and to make something of yourself. Does that make sense? You know, I feel like welfare has become, you know, a like government comfort. And the thing is that there's no responsibility and there's no accountability for you to grow. Everyone say, not this church.
Not this church.
But church should not be a Christian comfort zone. Where you think that having come here makes you a Christian. A relationship with Jesus makes you a Christian. Having lordship makes you a Christian. Doing what Jesus told you to do makes you a Christian. Not coming to church. And I'm sorry if I'm being too harsh, but I feel like a lot of us have, not a lot of us, I'll be more positive, a couple of us. Only one of us. Over Facebook Live. Have become comfortable in our setting. And here's the thing, and it happens to a lot of us. You know, we have a good job. Our family is doing well. And I figured that I've seen a lot where as the blessings increase, the relationship dwindles. Blessings, God's blessings are meant to drive you closer to him, not from him.
Amen.
When God blesses you with a job, don't take the overtime and work on Sunday.
Come on.
It's not designed to disconnect you. God is rewarding you for your faithfulness to him. And don't mistake in that. Don't mistake in God's goodness for your, how do you say it? As his approval to like live your own life. Whether you have a good job or you have a bad job or no job, you still need him.
Yeah.
He still needs to be in control, amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Great, we're doing great. So I feel like the Lord's saying, you know, today is the day to start over. To start over, if today's your first day in church, starting over is great. jump into a relationship with Jesus, he has nothing but good things for you. Here's what he said. He said, the thief comes, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Anything bad that happened in your life, God was not the author of that. But Jesus came to give you life, and life more abundantly. And Jesus didn't come for you to complain about your situation. Here's the thing, guys. We mistaken the free gift of salvation with the cheap gift of salvation. We think because salvation is free and forgiveness is free that it was cheap. It was not cheap. Jesus paid a huge price for it. He paid a huge price for us to have the opportunity, knowing that people would reject him. And he says it. He says, many are going to say, Lord, Lord. And I'm going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. Jesus died for those people too. But it wasn't up to Jesus whether they were going to be saved or not. It's completely up to us. Jesus has given us the final say of where we're going to spend forever. And speaking of forever, forever doesn't start when you die. Forever is right now. It's a whole new perspective. Like when you read your Bible, when you see everything that's happening in heaven, or everything that will happen in heaven, like that stuff should be happening now. Right. Jesus said this. He said eternal life is to know who God is. Yeah. And we equate eternity to I'm going to go to heaven. Eternity is right now. Yeah. And Jesus wants to know you right now. Amen. One of the greatest, speaking of Paul, the greatest example of starting over, Paul, who was formerly known as Saul, was persecuting, coming against God, thinking he was for God. And God said, hey, he stopped him because he had zeal for God. Believe it or not, he loved God. He thought he was doing God a service. He just was on the wrong team. And Jesus shows up and says, hey, let's start over. From this perspective, you're persecuting me, and I'm trying to come alongside of you. And the same zeal that Paul had of finding people and binding people, now that flipped to, like, now he's, like, getting beat up, but he's going back to that same temple. He's getting kicked out of the city, and he's going back to that city and doing all these miracles. The same, it's awesome, right? Like, the same tenacity and the same ferocity that he has to persecute the church. Now God uses that to spread the church to the Gentiles, people who were rejected. That's crazy, right? Yeah, awesome. Start over. Yeah. I'll end with this. We'll talk about Zacchaeus. Everyone say Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus. Honestly, like, this whole concept of starting over is, like, everywhere. Blind man gets healed. He's starting over. Lame man walks. He's starting over. Mm-hmm. Lazarus comes back from the dead. That's starting over. It's a good one. Zacchaeus. Luke chapter 19. We'll start with verse 2. It's okay, man. It's okay. Maybe we'll do the wave later. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Wow. Can someone say amen?
Amen.
I believe the Son of Man, Jesus, is seeking right now those who are lost and saying, hey, let's start over. You might have been close with God at some point and you feel you've felt like you've drifted apart, and God's saying, hey, you might be hiding in a tree right now, and God's saying, hey, I see you. Don't think that you left my eye. I've always seen you, and I've always longed for you to come back. Today's the day to come back. Yeah. Can we start over? Yeah. The greatest example of starting over, Jesus tells, I just forgot his name. Believe me, I want to say it. But he tells one of the Pharisees, chief Pharisees, comes to Jesus at night. And Nicodemus, thank you, sir. You must be born again. You want to come into the kingdom of God, start over. Start over. But don't start over in the flesh, but you're going to start over in the spirit, and you're going to have a whole new life. And even if you've fallen back into the flesh or fallen back into some sins, God today is saying, hey, let's be born again. Let's start over in the spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Guys, life is so much better with Jesus. It really is. And listen, God calls every single one of us. It's so funny because, so Zacchaeus is in the tree. Put up the picture of the tree. Zacchaeus most likely is hiding from Jesus. Taking a back seat to all the action. And saying, I just want to see Jesus. But Jesus saw Zacchaeus and he calls him forth. He calls him forth. And I think it's interesting because nothing in the Bible is there by accident. And Jesus says this, today salvation has come to this house because he is also is a son of Abraham. God comes to Abraham at 75 years old and he says, hey, you're moving out. Pick up everything that you have and you're leaving. I'm not telling you where, but you're leaving. And Abraham picks up his stuff, gets his nephew and his wife, and they leave. And then here's what God tells Abraham. He says, I am your exceedingly great reward. Mm-hmm. It's such a crazy parallel because if you look at Luke chapter 18, you see the parable, sorry, not parable, story, actually happened. The story of the rich young ruler.
Yeah.
And at the end of the story of the rich young ruler, Jesus says, hey, sell everything you have and give it to the poor and follow me. Jesus is trying to create a relationship. Many of us read that story and we get freaked out and anxious. So like, oh God, what do I need to sell? Do I need to sell everything? It's like, no, like that's not the point of the story. The point is follow me. That's the point. That's been the point of every single story is Jesus. Not the cost of what you have, but what you gain is Jesus. And that's what he tells Abraham. He's like, I am your exceedingly great reward. As in, like, I will sustain you. It doesn't matter where you go or what happens to you, I'm the one who sustains you. And so you see the story in chapter 18 of the rich young ruler, and Jesus has to tell him, hey, you got to sell everything and follow me. But now we go next chapter, and Zacchaeus, who was also very wealthy, a chief tax collector, Jesus just has to hang out with him.
Yeah.
He lets Jesus into his home, and Jesus doesn't have to tell him, hey, give back what you've taken and give to the poor. It's just a natural reaction because his trust was no longer in his possessions and in thievery and in unrighteous money and in all the other stuff that he was doing. I don't know what he was doing. That no longer was of value to him, but now Jesus became of value to him. And so all of a sudden, like, that didn't matter. The only thing that mattered was, I'm going to make things right.
Yeah. That's good.
I'm just going to make things right. I'm going to start over. I'm going to give away half of what I have. And then if I've taken anything that I took away that wasn't fair, I'm going to give it back times four. And I'm going to start over. Now, here's the thing. Whether you've been gone from the Lord for 3 months, 3 years, or even if you feel like, man, the past 3 days, I just haven't felt it. My question is, do you have to feel it in order to pursue him? Do we have to feel it? See, if Jesus is the number one thing and he is the one that we love, come on, there's times where I love people not because I feel like it, but because that's what God requires of me, right?
Yeah,
on the flip side, though, he gives me the grace to do it.
Amen.
And I become better for it. Just like Paul said, I learned to be content. I learned to love people by just starting over again. Hey, I'm sorry, brother. Can we start over? Sister, I'm sorry. Can we start over? Can we start over? 490 times later, can we start over? Yes. Church, can we start over? Can today be the first day of the rest of your life? And can we not forget about Jesus tomorrow? See, what I'm submitting to you is to start over in a crazy loving relationship with God that starts today but continues tomorrow. You don't have to wait until next Sunday to worship.
Yes.
I think, I was watching Joyful Noise, and I was like, man, I ought to be ashamed of myself for not worshiping like that at home.
Yeah.
I should be ashamed of myself. If these kids could praise like that, here's the thing, especially in praise and worship, and when you guys come back next Sunday, there should be a, oh, you just died. It's okay. There should be a change in our worship. There should be change in our whole life. Because here's the thing. Everything that we do is an outward expression of what's going on the inside. So when Pastor Drew is like on his knees and he's jumping and he's praising and he's going crazy and the worship band's going crazy, it's because they love Jesus. It's not because they're putting on the show, they're putting on performance. Like, oh yeah, jumping makes the Lord happy. It's like, no, the Lord makes me happy. Therefore, like, I'm going to show it. We see it everywhere. Baseball games, football games. You get excited. You show it. You love Jesus, show it. And don't worry about the cost. Well, how long do I need to pray for? How many chapters do I have to read? Don't worry about the cost. Don't worry about what it is, but worry about the who. Spend time with Jesus and everything will follow. You know, you'll get lost in praying. You'll get lost in reading. You'll get lost in worshiping. Don't limit. You know, today I'm going to spend an hour here, spend an hour here. It's like, no, just spend 5 minutes and then just go from there. Go from there. You know what's amazing is the less time I spend with God, the more busy I am with my life. The more time I spend with God and I make time to be with Him, the easier my life goes because He is the constant. Can we start over, church?
Yeah.
I said a whole lot of things. I hope it made sense. I really hope it made sense. But here's the thing about Zacchaeus, though. Is we see from his reaction in the presence of the Lord that he probably felt some guilt or some shame. And in the presence of Jesus, he's like, you know, I'm going to restore. I'm going to fix what I've done wrong, and I'm going to start over. And my prayer right now, and if you're here in the first service and you came up to the front, come up to the front. And if Terry and Fernando, you guys can come up to the front too. But my prayer right now is that you would have the strength and the courage to start over. But here's the thing about starting over. Here's what Paul said. He said, I'm going to leave the weights and sins that so easily ensnare me. And I'm going to press forward. I'm going to press forward. Everyone say press forward.
Press forward.
I'm going to press forward. And I'm really not talking about sins, to be honest, but I'm talking about there's weights that we carry, and there's weights that we have in our heart. Many times, it's hard for us to, and listen, I've been there too. I've been there too, where I'm trying so hard to, you know, have a relationship with God, and it just feels like I'm hitting the wall. It's like, God, what's going on? And many times because we've had broken relationships with our mother or broken relationships with our father or something, or when we were younger, something happened to us. Or maybe when we were a little bit older, we did some things that we're really ashamed of and we've tucked those things away. And we're like Zacchaeus where we come to church to see what God's doing, but we're not ready to really encounter Him for ourselves. But God today is saying, hey, come out.
Yeah.
Come forth and come out. I'm here. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. You guys can leave and let go all of those weights here this afternoon and walk out starting over.
Yes.
And say, I will now live a brand new life.
Thank you, Lord.
In Him. That's crazy to think because honestly, for me, I could never start over in my own strength. I can't. Am I the only one who's ever had trouble forgiving myself? But when the Lord forgives you, it's freeing. It's an empowerment to not only be righteous, but now to walk in who He is.
That's right.
Everyone stand to your feet.
Bless you.
We praise You, Jesus. We praise You, Jesus. We praise You, Father. Lord, I pray for everyone here, Lord, that they may have the strength and the courage that as the Holy Spirit is pressing on them to make that decision to say, Lord, I will start over. I haven't done the best. I haven't been the best. I've been holding things that I shouldn't be holding, but I'm ready, Lord, to start over. I'm ready to be born again. I'm ready to step out of the flesh and to step into the Spirit. I'm ready to give you everything, Lord, and I will surrender. I will submit. I give up on running my own life, but Lord, I'm ready to start over.